I'd like to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than all, yet not I, but the grace of God was which was with me. Verse 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign, till he hath put down all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Follow on down, verse 44. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Then farther on down, 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not always sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must be put on immortality. Now you have noticed that there are four last things, we might call them here, in that which we have read. Verse 7, or verse 8, Paul says, last of all, he was chosen, he was seen as of me also, as one born out of due time. Then in verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Then in verse 45, we have, as it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And then in our last scripture, we have the last trump, verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We have brought before us here, in the earlier part of the chapter, the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached, the gospel that Paul delighted to proclaim concerning the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing that cheers the soul so much as hearing the good news of salvation through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Especially when one sees those who have been brought up in a strange religion with idols and all that connected with it, to see them reached and saved and plucked as brands from eternal burnings, and to be able to sing of God's great salvation. Paul always had a great respect and a great joy in proclaiming the gospel of the grace of God. He could say here, I, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and where ye stand. But it took Paul back to that time when on the way to Damascus, as an enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ, he had come to a point where he was going to hail men and women, all those that profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in jail, and have them put to death. When God met him, God stopped him, God brought him down, and there, upon the ground, he was reached and saved by the grace of God, and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That was what marked the life of Paul from that day on. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And brethren, I believe that is something that should touch each of our hearts in the day in which we live, especially younger brethren coming up. And thank God for those that we have amongst us who have an exercise for the things of God, working in the Sunday school, whatever way they can, our young sisters too. But it is, I believe, a very, very important thing to remember these words of what the Apostle Paul said, that which marked his life, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to do? At times, our lives change. And we can look back on that which we had the privilege to do for the Lord. But Paul, to the end of his days, this was a great thing. And so he says here, he speaks of that gospel where the Lord reached and saved him by his grace, plucked him as a brand from the eternal burnings, and he says, as we have read, he mentions those different ones that were reached and saved, some that had been saved some years before, some now home with the Lord. And he says, in verse 8, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Why, he looked up, even at this point, he seemed to look up to the apostles. But here he said, I was just one born out of a due time. Undoubtedly, he had would have a reference that identified himself for the great company that will be saved in the coming day, in a future day. Identified himself with them. But he longed and thanked God that he had been amongst those that were saved by the grace of God. Brothers and sisters, this afternoon, when we think that once we were strangers, once we were far off, once you're in our sins and folly, I'm going abroad way to the pit, but now saved by the grace of God, plucked as brands from the eternal burnings. How says Paul, there's one thing that he desired, and was that he might seek to live, to serve the Lord, to please him. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now the second scripture we have read here, in verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death is a very cruel enemy. None of us have any guarantee of life. We sometimes say, the young may go, but the old must go. I remember that for a number of years, with our dear late brother, Mr. William Williams, once a year in the spring, we used to go for about 2 months to the southern part of Venezuela. There are no assemblies, there are no Christians, but we worked different towns and seeking an opportunity where we could form a little nucleus where we could see souls saved, and then in time, an assembly form. There came a time when I was in Aroa. I was in Aroa for 6 months. And Mr. Williams came along there. And he said, now, what are your plans? Well, Mr. Williams, I'm just waiting to see what you have in mind. How about another trip down south to see what we can find? I said, fine, that just suits me fine. So we were making our plans. We were there, stayed for as long as the Aurora Conference, and then we were planning that we would go way to the south. But he says to me, I'm going to take a little holiday, which I think he never did, and I'm going up to Timotheus for a couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks. And he said, you've been a long time away from your family. You might go home for 3 weeks, and then we'll join together. Fine. That was just fine. And so Mr. Williams went on that trip. We had talked over what we were going to visit, where we were going to seek to make a location, and all the like of that. Well, the result, that 10 days later, I got a telegram, get to Portico Bay as quick as you can, because William is sick. When I got there, they said, he's not here, he's in Valencia. I went up there. I said, where's Mr. Williams? Well, you go down here a few blocks, and then go a block and a half to the left, and you'll find him there in a clinic. So I went down there. I knew where the clinic was. I didn't know what the clinic was. But when I got there, clinic for cancer. If ever you were to see a disappointed man, it was our dear brother, Mr. Williams. When he got word that at the most he will live for 2 months, that changed our plans tremendously. And after 2 months, well, before 2 months was over, a month went by, and he said, John, he says, I want you to come and stay right by my bed, right for the next 2 weeks or so. And it was there that he passed away in my arms. You know, we make our plans here. We make our plans. But, brethren, we do not know what moment death may come our way. Thank God we are prepared to meet the Lord. But you know, we're only here for a short time, and it becomes us to seek to serve the Lord in whatever way we're able to do until that day when we shall see Him face to face. So he says here, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Is death. Thank God for this glorious prospect that this enemy shall yet be defeated and destroyed when our blessed Lord comes, take us home to be forever with Himself. Then we read here in verse 45, and so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The first Adam, as we see, in Genesis chapter 2, was given life. And yet, we read how he sinned against the Word of God. He disobeyed the Word of God. And we see how he was driven out of Eden. And there we see him on the outside place there. But we have the last Adam. What a contrast. One thinks of Psalm 110 and those words there in regards to how God had given him every possible blessing. He was enriched in every way. He had everything to his use. And yet, he disobeyed. He took of that fruit which his wife had given him. We see how they recognized that they were naked. That is, that they had sinned against God. They were not able to hide themselves. They sought to hide themselves amongst the trees of the garden, but they were not able to hide themselves. But then we have the last Adam. What a contrast. We see in Hebrews chapter 2. This perfect spotless Lamb of God, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. The first Adam was given life, but the second Adam imparts life. He gives life. He gives life so that we may be able to manifest that life, that others may be reached and pluck his brand from the eternal burnings, and to be able to live and to walk in fellowship with him, pleading to the Lord and to the word of his grace until that day when we shall see him face to face. Then I was thinking of this last scripture, the 50. Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Trumpets were a very, very important thing, instrument, in the lives of the Israelites. The first reading that we have of a trumpet is in Exodus chapter 19. There we see that God was going to give his people the law at that time, and the trumpet was sound that for the assembly of the people, that they might gather together at Horeb to receive the law and the commandments that God had for them, written on two tables of stone. They were like statues. When they're written on stone, they couldn't be changed. There they were. They were placed there. You couldn't change it. We're living in days of change, but in the giving of those tablets, they were written in stone. God had written them. They could not be changed. And they were to be kept and obeyed, and they were to walk in obedience to the word of God. But through the lives of the Israelites, they used trumpets for every occasion, for calling of an assembly, for going forth to war, when fighting, a trumpet would be sounded to call the men away from the war. You remember? They had at least two types of trumpets. There was the ram's horn that would make a tremendous blast, but then there were the silver trumpets, which sounded a sweet note. When Israel went into the land of Canaan, the king of Jacob, and they were told to march around the city, sounding the trumpets. They must have been a strange-looking sight, day after day, day after day, as they walked around that city, sounding trumpets, until, on the last day, they were to stand as men and blow the trumpets. I suppose the better word would be to blast the trumpets. I believe those were ram horns, and they made a tremendous noise. Finally, the walls of Jericho fell down, and they went up, and they gained a great victory. Then again, we see at festive times, we have the Feast of Trumpets, when they gathered there in accordance to the Word of God. It was a happy time. And then we have the Feast of Tabernacles, and I suppose the trumpets again were sounded. There they gathered, and everyone under his fig tree, and everyone enjoying the good things of God. Trumpets were sounded. It was a festive time. It was a happy time. And so we see how these trumpets were sounded from time to time in the lives of the Israelites. Then in Paul's time, and when he was a prisoner amongst the Romans, they too were well known for using trumpets. In fact, they had one that they called the Emperor's Trumpet. That is, when the Emperor sounded the trumpet, everybody had to pay attention to it. Whatever it was for, whether it was a gathering or an assembly gathering, or however it was, they had to obey it. They had to come quickly to do whatever the call was. As they were all understood, the soundings of the trumpets, the different sounds that were made, they were well informed on all that, and they knew just exactly what to do. But here Paul speaks of the last trump. For, says he, the trumpet shall sound. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, he speaks of it as the trumpet of God. The trumpet of God. So that if the trumpet sounded in Israel, or if the emperor's trumpet sounded in the days of Paul, and they had to be immediately prepared and obedient to whatever the call might be. I'm musing a little bit about this trumpet. It's the last trumpet. What is it for? It's for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't look for signs. We don't need them. But there's one thing, brethren and sisters, I believe. We should have our ears tuned to hear that trumpet sound. That last trumpet that the Lord shall sound. And then he'll come and take us home to be forever with himself. We are exhorted to watch, to pray, to wait, to await the coming of the Lord. To have our ears tuned to that coming trumpet cry when the Lord shall call us himself to be forever with himself. Meanwhile, we are to be prepared. It may be tonight, it may be a while yet before that trumpet will sound. But Paul says here, the trumpet shall sound. It shall sound. Paul was absolutely positive and assured. The trumpet will sound, maybe in my day, it may not. But because the trumpet shall sound, I want to be in a condition, my ear tuned to hear that trumpet sound, to be ready to march, whatever it may be, to be caught away, to be called home, to be forever with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, in the day in which we live, may the Lord encourage us to live and to walk, waiting, longing for that trumpet sound. When the trumpet shall sound, we shall hear his voice. We shall be caught away to be forever with the Lord. So I'd like to leave these few thoughts. First of all, Paul, he appreciated so much the great salvation which he had received. And then the last enemy that shall be destroyed, is death. The last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is a quickening spirit, the one who gives divine life, and the last trump that shall be sounded. We do not know just exactly when, but it could be any day. And to hear his voice, come away, my loved one, when he'll take us up to be forever with himself.